Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 17 and reading through verse 20. So, now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do what the good, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. I have a question for you, believer, Christian. When you sin against another person and they come to you, and by God's grace you see the sin, what is your response to that person? Do you confess your sin and ask for forgiveness for what you did? Or do you say, I didn't do it, the devil made me do it. I'm not responsible for crooks. I didn't want to do it. How do you respond? The sins we commit as children of Christ are our sins that we own up to because we do it. We cannot use Romans chapter 7, verses 17 through 20 to say, it's not me who's doing it, it's that sin. That, you know, that pesky sin that makes me do something. It's his fault, not mine. That is a wrong understanding of what Paul is saying here. That's one of the reasons why I think it's understanding that Paul, as we've been arguing through this, Paul is dramatically showing how when the law came to Israel, that the law could not produce life in them, but sin used law as instrument to produce the death because it was given to those who were of the flesh. And so, as we look at verse 17, that's a little way of shocker to how we're going to look at this passage. We're going to look at verses 17 through 20. We're going to look at verse 17, and then verse 18, and then verses 19 through 20 to find out what Paul is saying. Well, in verse 17, Paul clearly lays the blame at sin, doesn't he? Look at what he says. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. What he's saying is, again, understanding this passage, Israel receives the law. Israel says, we will do it. Israel desires, as I said, Israel confessed the law is good. I want to obey the law. This is important. This is very important. The law was given to the covenant people of God. We are not talking about professed Gentile God-haters. We're talking about those who say, we love the Lord our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know of all the things he's done. Even we saw all the things that he did at the Exodus. We know how powerful he is. We know he's good. We've experienced his goodness, and we know his law is good. And we want to do it. But then you start reading in Exodus in chapters 32 and following. What happened? They find something different happening. And so what Paul is doing is dramatizing, doing it in a dramatic way, of that predicament. Even the best who desire to do, the religious Jew, they find something different. The I that Paul has here is Israel living under law, who wants to keep the law, but indwelling sin, because they are captive to indwelling sin. This is not like human beings have two natures, a sinful nature and a godly nature, or what you would used to see on the old TV shows I grew up on. You know, somebody make a decision, you have a little angel on this thing and a little devil, and each of them trying to tell you what to do. That is not humanity. Okay, that is not, you're either of Adam or you're of Christ. Either of the flesh or of the spirit. What Paul is describing here is those who are of the flesh who desire to do good. And they find that they can't do good. And he describes it as indwelling sin. As indwelling sin. There was a Jewish thought, and again, this I talked about the angel and the devil, and there's a Jewish idea that human beings have two impulses. The evil impulse and the good impulse. And the way they view the law, the Torah, is in this Jewish thought, a person's observance of the Torah enables them to follow the good impulse. What Paul is saying to that idea is you can't, because it's not following, it's what comes from within. And so, as he's saying here, the problem with observing the law is sin. It's not sin abstracted from me, like sin is just part of me. I got my sin. As he said earlier, look what he says in verse 15, which I was almost tempted to read. For I do not understand my asking, for I do not do what I want, but I do what the very thing I hate. That's the experience of those who are in that covenant, who are trying to observe the law for their standard with God. He says in verse 16, now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. Again, that's his point. He's trying to say that the law is good, but sin used the law to bring death. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh. So it understands. That's how he describes Israel. Now, let's use a little context. We're going to look a little bit at chapter 6 and then a little bit at chapter 8 as I try to explain this to what tell you what it can't mean. Look at chapter 6. I'm doing this early, but I think important. I want it in your minds. Look at chapter 6, verse 17. This is that passage where he says, should we continue to sin? Should we continue to be disobedient? Well, he says in verse 16, he says, let's look at verse 16 first. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, either to sin, which leads to death. Think about what's going on in 17. or chapter 7. Or of obedience which leads to righteousness of life. But thanks, look at verse 17. Because that was those two principles. Verse 17 says this. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin. You who were once slaves of sin. And the slaves of sin is what is described in chapter 7. You who were once slaves of sins have become obedient from the heart to the standard of the teaching which you were committed. Having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I asked you a rhetorical question about if you are caught in sin, what do you do? Do you blame the sin or do you own? If you're counseling a brother or sister who's struggling with sin, what's your counsel to them? Is it, well, you know what, you're just a slave to sin. And I know you desire to do good, but you're going to find something different in me. Is that your counsel? No, what's your counsel? Your counsel is, yeah, you sinned. Confess it. Walk in your obedience. If you happen to sin again, I hope you don't. I pray you don't. You're not a slave to it. There is a way of escape. But even if you do as a Christian, because we're in the not yet, we're still being sanctified, you still have forgiveness of that sin. That's not what Paul is talking about in Romans 7. Because in Romans 7, Israel, in that covenant, approached God, not by the Spirit, but by the letter of the law. And what does sin do with the letter of the law? It brings death. And when I say letter of the law, I'm not talking about a spiritual... We'll talk about this as we go through Romans. The letter is speaking of the Mosaic covenant separated from Christ. Of the Spirit of the not letter is speaking of the Holy Spirit who gives life. We'll see that as we go through this. So, but verse 17, the point is the cause. 17, it's continuing that down. The cause of Israel stumbling is sin. Is their sin. Is their being captive and they need someone to set them free. Verse 18. He emphasizes that though sin is to blame for the death of those who approach through that way or through Israel in that old covenant, there was an ongoing struggle in Israel. Okay? We understand total depravity as reformed. Total depravity does not mean that we are as bad as we could be. Total depravity means that all of our faculties have been affected by sin. My mind, my heart, everything. By the way, even my body has been affected by sin. But there's a measure, as we said, common grace that suppresses that the sinful tendencies that we have, even when we're unregenerate. And as we said, Israel, who received the law, in verse 18, we see the ongoing struggle. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Remember when Paul spoke about the reason for the given law was to show what sin was? That's really what's going on. Without that law given, that internal struggle is not being seen. And now it's being described there. There is an eye in Israel that can desire to obey God. But the ongoing experience of those who wanted to obey God was disobedience. It started at Mount Sinai and continued to the exile in Babylon, or actually the return. Remember those marriages they were having with the returnees? So, verse 17 speaks about sin being the cause to blame. Again, not sin abstracted, but the sin, because they were slaves, they were of the flesh, as we've seen in sold unto sin, verses 13 and 14. But the law is spiritual from God. In verse 18, Paul speaks about that ongoing struggle that they experience. And then in verses 19 through 20, we basically see a repetition of what he said in verse 15. Look at verse 15 first. Verse 15, he says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." And now verses 19 and 20. "For I do not do what I want, but the evil I do not want I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Again, repeating 15, and he's notice what he's doing. He's just repeating. Once you get the point. Again, this can't be used as a Christian for the current experience to say, "Oh, it's not me doing it. It was my sin dwelling in me." We are not schizophrenic. Approaching God through the law brings death. And that is the situation with Israel. They were zealous for God, but they didn't seek the righteousness of God, but they sought to be obedient to show their own righteousness. The problem is that they were sinners. That's what Paul, the law is good, isn't it? It describes God, it shows the way, but they didn't have the ability to obey it. We look backwards to try to show you that our view, my view, as we're looking at this is correct. Let's look forward. Let's look at chapter 8. I think we may have seen some of these verses before. But look at verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." See, what he's going to describe, what he's saying in chapter 7 is he's talking about why the law was given and defending the law being good, but yet an instrument to show that death came through even the best in Israel under the Mosaic covenant. He says, but there is a way in which they can have life. And it is the Spirit. You approach God through Christ through the Spirit. And those who do that have been set free from that bondage to sin. I still sin, and you still sin, but I'm not in bondage to it anymore. Because as I said, what's been described as Israel here in chapter 7 is true, specifically of being in bondage to everybody who descended from Adam. The difference was they didn't have the law given to them. And so Paul will go on to say in chapter 8, "For God did For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and sin to condemn the sin in the flesh in order that the right to require the law, well, not actually doing this, just one point, law might be fulfilled in us who walk, as it said, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now I ask you, as we look at Romans chapter 7, could it be said that we don't walk according to the flesh if what is said about verse 14 is true of chapter 7? Listen to what chapter 7 of 14 says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. He's not talking about Christians here. Because Christians have been redeemed from sin and the body. They've been redeemed from that. There is an ongoing struggle in the Christian of sin and not sin. But the difference is we are not in bondage to it. We cannot be justified by observance to the law of God. We cannot be sanctified by observance to the law of God. We are justified through the work of Jesus Christ, and we are sanctified through the ongoing work of Jesus Christ by His Spirit in us, cleansing us inside out, washing us by the Word. But just because we are not justified through the observance of the law doesn't mean the law is bad. The law is good. And we are called to obey the law from the Spirit. Turn with me now to Colossians. Oh, sorry. I want to make sure I was in the wrong book. Colossians chapter 3. Here's where Paul gives ethical exhortations to believers. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is yours, is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Now here's ethical. That's what's true about you. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, and idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Doesn't sound like those who are slaves anymore, does it? Verse 7 speaks about when you were slaves. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away, all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Brothers and sisters, I think this understanding of what Paul is doing in Romans 7 frees us. To affirm the law is good. And now, because of Jesus Christ and his work, we ought to encourage one another to walk in obedience, not reliance upon our obedience or reliance upon the law, but in reliance upon God and the work of Christ. How do I know that I will grow in sanctification? Because he who began a good work in me will finish it. Same for you. The purpose of Romans 7 is not to describe a struggle in the Christian. There really, in Paul, you don't see a struggle in Christian, do we? Look at Colossians. He doesn't see a struggle between two entities fighting one another. What he does say is that we still have, there's a pattern that we tend to follow. Again, but it's not two, it's not like this one bad one, but you need to stop doing that because you are a different person. Because your identity has changed. Not because you've added a new identity to fight with your old identity. So, a Christian struggle with sin still exists, and I don't like to use the word struggle, but the Christian who still has sin that he fights, but he's no longer a slave to sin that's described in Romans 7. Now, I do need to say this before we end. As I've been describing and will continue to describe our understanding of Romans 7, it's Paul is showing why the law given to Israel at Sinai brought death. That doesn't mean that everyone who is Jewish from Sinai on goes to hell. There are those whom God does give life to by the Spirit. That's why it's important to say he's not speaking about an individual like Paul or somebody. He's speaking about historically the giving of the law and what that caused, so that he could defend that the giving of the law at Sinai was the giving of a good thing. It brought death, but the problem wasn't the law. The problem was the title of the sermon, that pesky sinful nature. You either have that sinful nature of one who is in Adam, or you have the nature of the one who is in Christ. You're either the spirit or the flesh. There are those who, in their own experience in Israel, we believe were of the spirit. One of them wrote the Psalms, at least a lot of them. Maybe all of the ones who wrote the Psalms were of them. But Paul is trying to defend the giving of the law. As we looked at verses 17 and 18, Paul says that the giving of the law continued in verse 17 to show that the problem wasn't the law, but it was sin. And verses 18 and really 19 through 20 is to show that there was an ongoing struggle, even in the best of the Old Testament times, that they struggled because they did not have the ability in receiving the law to obey the law, because the law itself could not give life. Let's go to our God now.